Hebrews chapter 6, verse 20. Whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The picture before you is of the Old Testament high priest who went once a year into the holy place, but with a very poor picture of Jesus Christ, who has entered forever and ever into heaven for us. That is the picture before us. But the word used, forerunner, we think of John the Baptist, but it's nothing to do with that. John the Baptist wasn't a forerunner in this sense. The forerunner here is a military term, and it means someone who goes in front with a small band of soldiers, and the main army follows behind so that they find out the way for them and the obstacles and introduce them to the fight. That is a forerunner. It's something to do with the military. So Jesus Christ has gone ahead of the main body and through all the suffering and into heaven. Now the message of this is hope. And I want to really talk to you more about hope than a forerunner. You see, in the New Testament, hope has two ideas. Hope is in itself hoping, and also what we hope for. So there's a good hope in the New Testament. Now, I cannot tell you enough that I feel my neighbours, when I look at them, are decent people, they're fine people, but they don't have hope. One lot have hope of getting into a very nice house which they're building for themselves. Another lot don't seem to have much hope at all, the other side. The hope is the thing that's missing today. That's why we're in such a mess as a country. You know, when Spain lost South America and the gold, she went downhill so badly. I've often thought about it, that every wickedness that you're seeing around us in England today was being practiced in Spain after she lost her empire and her everything and went right down among the nations. And we have done it. They've lost hope. I was looking in Birmingham when we were this week, and there was a beautiful little round obelisk, beautifully made of marble with a Birmingham craftsman's cover to it, made of metal. The whole thing was very nicely done. And I said to my wife, the reason people don't make things as nicely as that today is because they've lost hope. There isn't any hope anymore. Now, you have hope, and I want you to go out of here and radiate hope. That's what it is. Jesus Christ is our great hope. You look at verse 18. God had confirmed by an oath the promise of his counsel, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that which is within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The idea is the anchor man. In an ancient boat, they have an anchorus, and he was the man who, when they entered harbour, you know, harbours in those days weren't dredged like today, had to take a little boat and row ahead with the anchor in it and drop it in far ahead of the boat, so that when the tide rose and the boat floated over it, the anchor would already be there in position. And our Lord Jesus is that anchor man. He's gone in. So the hope we have isn't, don't try and get some idea in your head of someone flinging an anchor into heaven instead of to the depths of the sea. It isn't that at all. It's that the Lord Jesus is the anchor, and he's the hope. Now, among the ancient Greeks, at Jesus' time, hope wasn't a religious thing. They had no hope in the gods. I know that Theogenes said, as long as you live by honouring the gods, live in hope. And also, Horace talks about loyalty and faith being connected to hope, but they weren't religious really. Their gods didn't offer any hope. And ultimately, when a man stood before the two greatest evils, his own sin and death, no hope was offered whatsoever from the gods. The gods hadn't entered in before, they weren't forerunners. They were something quite separate and hostile to humans who had to be placated. So Sophocles, who wrote plays, had one of his choruses sing, "The highest remains, never to be brought to life." And what he meant by hope will never come to life. There's nothing there. It's there, but we cannot get at it. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ has gone before us, and he's opened up hope. So then, there arose in the Roman Empire mystery religions. Now, the mystery religions were everywhere. But what they offered was a sort of pipe dream of hope and immortality. But they couldn't offer any assurance whatsoever. If you followed the mystery religion, you might get some hope. So the idea of assurance of hope was completely missing. Now, where do we get the idea of assurance of hope? Well, not from the Old Testament, because there was hope in God. The Jews had hope. They had hope which nobody else had, but it was in God, and it's something which is only open to those who did right. Would you turn with me to Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 7? And it's Proverbs 11 verse 7. And it's very clearly written there, the lack of hope of the wicked. It says, "When a wicked man dieth, his expectation shall perish, and the hope of unjust men perisheth." But you see, it's really a hope in this life they're talking about, mostly, not completely. It's there in front of you. There is a sort of hope. Now, there are 146 times it talks of hope in the Old Testament, but almost exactly half those are about human hopes which are disappointed. So the only hope really Israel had was hope in God. They did hope in God, but it was a very future event, not particularly something that you could latch onto very easily. One of the interesting things we know about the ancient world is, we've got thousands upon thousands of Babylonian tablets, because when the schools of the scribes had finished with them, they threw them in pits, and those pits, the sand closed in on them, and we've dug them up in Babylon. And so we have very, very many of these old bits of writing from Babylon, but not one has come back to us that says that there is hope in the gods. Not one single bit of evidence that the Babylonians had any hope at all. I know this talking to Muslims. If you said, "I know I'm going to heaven," they said, "Oh, you can't say that. Who could say that?" Now, the Jews got into this mess between the Testaments. You know, there's about 400 years between the Old Testament and the New. Well, during that time, the Jewish rabbis talked about hope, but their hope was founded for the righteous, and that meant doing a list of righteous things. And obviously, who can ever say he's done them? Could you really say this week you've done everything you ought to have done and not done anything you oughtn't to have done? And could you say, for looking back over a lifetime, that? Well, then you wouldn't have hope, you see. And so they got on to false messiahs. And you know, right up to Paul's time, there were all these false messiahs coming and parading round and getting men killed with them. They had hope in a sort of messiah, but it wasn't anything like real hope. However, there was hope in the Old Testament among the saints. Psalm 71 verse 5, "Thou, O Lord, art my hope." And Jeremiah 14:8, "Thou hope of Israel." God was their hope. Well then, they ended up, by the time the Lord Jesus came, by saying this, that there was some form of afterlife for the soul. They weren't sure what, by a long way, but that there was some form of afterlife which would somehow free it from death in an impersonal way. They weren't sure exactly how it all worked. It was a very different thing. Christ came and brought hope. Now I want you to look at our little verse. You see, that's whither the forerunner of Israel entered into heaven, and it calls him even Jesus. Now why do they use the term Jesus? Well, it's very clear that the Lord Jesus Christ, if you use the word Jesus, it arouses the greatest passions in people. Some people hate Jesus. You remember what Paul said in Acts 26, if you can find it, and he says there what he thought about the Lord Jesus before he was converted. It's in verse 9. I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints that I shut up in prison, having received authority. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them, and I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them, even unto strange or foreign cities. Now, you can see that he did that because he hated Jesus of Nazareth. And the name Jesus is something that rouses hatred. But amongst us, we have that hymn, don't we, which is so clear that he's our hope and that we expect everything from him. So the hymn runs like this: Jesus, the name high over all, in heaven and earth and sky. And so it goes on. The hymn praises the Lord Jesus as the highest hope. Now, when you're alone and you're really earnest with the Lord to get something, don't you pray to Jesus? You don't pray to God, or you don't pray to Christ. Those things aren't quite the same. So this name Jesus here, it rouses the deepest passions in us. Now, I want to go back to this faith and hope there is in the Lord Jesus. Look at the content of it. Look at what is the content of this hope. Well, in the Bible, hope is never selfish. It isn't some idiosyncratic thing or some selfish egocentric thing. It's in Christ, in God, in the New Testament. That's what hope is. It's not God blessing the individual, but thy kingdom come, thy will be done in heaven as it is on earth, in earth as it is in heaven. So the whole thing is that the universe is in God's hands as king, and our hope is in the veil, in beyond the veil, in heaven. That's where our hope is. So that's its content. Now its basis is not on any good works which we've done, but God's grace, his loving undeserved kindness in Jesus. And it's called our hope. It's spoken of as Christ in you, the hope of glory. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, we abound in hope. So Christ is our first fruit and our forerunner and our hope. Now, because he's hope, we have hope. And if we didn't have hope, we couldn't go on standing for another day. Hope is the ground on which you stand. Now that is its basis. But it's a gift. This hope is a gift. It's not a theory, but it has levels to it. When we're first converted, we certainly have hope. But assurance of hope, full assurance of hope, grounded and settled, not moved away, is something that comes much more gradually. We need that full assurance of hope. That's what we're after. Therefore, we need to grow in hope. Hope isn't a static thing. It's something we want more of. Now, the reason we set out to buy this building was hope in God. We didn't have money. We didn't have influence. We didn't have anywhere we could get the money. But we did it because we trusted God. And that is hope in God. Now, the present is full of hope in God. You have hope in God. That's why marriages among Christians continue. That is why we look after children who other people wouldn't look after. That is all these things we do because we have hope in God. We bear illnesses. We bear situations at work because we have hope that God will help us. Now that's all in the present life. But the real hope we have is beyond the veil. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. You're looking for hope far out beyond this life. Now you and I are living here because we know there's a hope beyond. Now, how does this hope work? Well, Abraham hoped against hope. And that means Abraham hoped against what human judgment told him would happen. And that is the only reason why we're different to other men. That is why we haven't been swept away with the tide of infidelity and immorality in enveloping this land. It's just something running so deep that it would be very difficult to talk about. But hope keeps us above. This hope we have is an anchor to the soul. And we are anchored to it and able to remain steadfast when everything around us gives way. And that is something very wonderful. And so we rejoice in hope. We hope for that which we see not. We have pride in hope. You look at chapter 3 of Hebrews and verse 6. And it says this. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we? If we hold fast the confidence, that's the pride and rejoicing of the hope, firm unto the end. So then we have Christ as our hope. Our hope is in a person, not in anything to do with the situation or anything like that. It's in our heart.